This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies, so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at Progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMayo. Sit down. Take a pen. Pencil is fine. And write this down. Section 269. Every devise or bequest of lands, tenements or hereditaments, or any interest therein, a freehold or less than freehold, either present or future, vested or contingent, or of any money directed to be raised by the sale thereof, contained in any last will and testament or codicil, or other testamentary writing, in favor of any religious or ecclesiastical corporation, sole or aggregate, or any religious or ecclesiastical society, or to any religious denomination or association or persons, or to any person or body politic, in trust, either expressed or implied, secret or resulting, either for the use and benefit of such religious corporation, society, denomination, or association, or for the purpose of being given or appropriated to charitable uses or purposes, shall be null and void, and their heir at law shall take the same property so devised or bequeathed, as though no testamentary disposition had been made. Now write an essay interpreting that statute. If you're black. If you're white, the registrar, who was also white, who was always white, at the Monroe County Courthouse in Canton, Mississippi in 1964, would give you a different passage from the state's constitution to write and interpret. A single sentence, and then a simple answer. And if you couldn't get it right, if you couldn't read or write, you could and certainly would be waved through as a person of high moral standing and be allowed to vote. Allowed to exercise a right granted to every American male over the age of 21 by the 15th Amendment since 1870, and to every American female over the age of 21 by the 19th Amendment since 1920. The same rights that were denied by design by what they called literacy laws in the states of the old Confederacy, not particularly old then, in 1964. In Canton, Mississippi, 72% of the population was black. In its county in that year, there were more than 12,000 African Americans eligible to vote. Fewer than 200 were actually registered to do so. 265 people stood in line and waited. Waited in knit caps and fedoras, suits and ties and Sunday best. The day was cold and the wind blew and bit, and they tugged down at the end of their shirt sleeves or blow into their hands. 265 people, many of them elderly and bent, old enough that their parents, maybe, their grandparents surely, had been slaves there in that county. Maybe had laid the cornerstone or put up the white columns or stacked bricks and built the courthouse that had stood in the center of town since 1855, inside which a man in an office with a Confederate flag affixed to the door decided who got to vote. Maybe their grandparents hammered the wrought iron fence that surrounds it into the ground, by which these 265 people stood in line waiting to register to vote, to be let into that office with that Confederate flag in the door, one by one to take a test that was designed to be unfair. The line wrapped around the corner, went down the block, while a sheriff's deputy in a black leather jacket paced the line with a machine gun in hand, a wooden club swinging off a belt loop on one hip, a revolver with a handle made of bone hanging from the other. Cops by the courthouse door called out, heckled and threatened the people they knew standing in line. Same with the white gawkers who came down to take it all in and maybe start something. Everyone knew everyone in a small town like that, knew where they lived, and knew what was coming for Negroes who didn't know their place, didn't know it was good for them. 25 years before that February Friday in 1964, Claude Brooks was lynched in their town. Many in that line must have known Claude Brooks, must have known Joe Rogers, who was lynched the year after that. Just a half year before, just a half hour down the road, Medgar Evers was shot in the back for trying to help people like them register to vote. They knew what could be coming for them, knew all too well, had known it all their lives. 3 months later, someone would shoot at the headquarters of the activists who had come to Canton to register black voters. A couple of weeks later, someone would throw a bomb. 6 months later, two churches in two black neighborhoods would be lit on fire. Two of two dozen burned in Mississippi that fall. And that day in February of 1964, 265 people stood in line all day waiting, and fewer than seven of them got inside to even have a chance to fail that bogus test. 2 years later, a full year after President Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act, civil rights marchers would be beaten and tear gassed in the playground of a school down the road. And these people would still be waiting. And 50 years later, you're listening to the story and it's all so familiar. It's all some version of a story you've heard before. You can picture it all, the standing in line, the black and white footage, the cops with their crew cuts and their billy clubs. You've heard this story before, and I know that. But I know that some stories need to be retold. And I know that to stand and wait in line, first you need to stand up. And 265 people stood up that day. The Memory Palace is produced by Nate DeMayo, that's me, with research assistance from Andrew Milne. Now, if you have gotten used to me saying at this point in the show that The Memory Palace is produced with engineering assistance from Kathy Tu, well, as of this episode, I sadly can't say that anymore. The extraordinarily talented Kathy Tu has gone off to a fantastic new job with WNYC that I would love to tell you about but have been sworn to secrecy about for the time being. But I'm incredibly psyched for Kathy. It's sad to see her go. But that does mean that I am in the market for a new engineering assistant. If that might be you or someone you know, go to thememorypalace.us and check out the job listing. The Memory Palace is an extraordinarily proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which gets ad-serving technology from AdZerk and gets support from the Knight Foundation, from MailChimp, and from the listeners of The Memory Palace and all the Radiotopia shows.
Radiotopia.